And now the game in which we invite notable people onto our show to answer questions about things they know nothing about. It's called Not My Job. It is a particular pleasure for us to welcome today's guest, for he's been on the show in spirit many times before. We talked about his candidacy for governor of Minnesota. We talked about his surprising victory, his fascinating 4 years in office, the many interesting things he did, the even more interesting things he said. Basically, the guy kept us going between the end of the Monica Lewinsky scandal and the day George Bush choked on a pretzel. So as such, I feel like I am welcoming him home and away, Governor Jesse Ventura of Minnesota. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
It's my pleasure to be here. I couldn't think of anything I'd rather be doing.
I understand. It's so great to have you. Let's go back in time. You, of course, did the impossible in 1998. As a third-party candidate, you defeated the Republican. You defeated the Democrat. You became the governor of Minnesota. It was extraordinary. But then you served just one term, and you walked away. You didn't run for re-election. Why not?
Well, because, first of all, on the honest side of it, it was my wife's health that was suffering, and I felt that that was more important than holding office to me is her. Second is because I like to think of myself as a statesman, not a politician.
Yeah.
And statesmen come and serve and then imagine they go back to what they used to do.
Yeah. The Cincinnatus returning to his plow, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or go on to a new job or whatever. Find out what it's truly like in the private sector. You know, most of these elected guys tell you how they feel your pain in the private sector, but the problem is they've never been in it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you, I remember famously that when you won the election that night in 1998, you said, "We shocked the world." Did you shock yourself? Were you surprised that you won?
Well, somewhat, but I always felt I could win. I didn't go into it just to make a point and lose. I just felt if everything lined up correctly and we got a little bit lucky and here and there that we could pull it off, and we did. And the detriment, the thing that caused their downfall was they allowed me to debate them.
Yeah.
And you know, I felt like I was going to a gunfight with both hands loaded against two guys that were unarmed.
Right. Because you had been a professional wrestler. There's one thing you knew how to handle was a cage match.
Well, not only that, but you got to sell that cage match.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be able to go up like when I taught at Harvard. One of my classes was how pro wrestling prepares you for politics.
So
people laugh about it, but it's really true because, first of all, no matter how you prepare for your match in pro wrestling, something will go wrong. And so you got to be able to think on your feet quickly, and that the same thing holds true in politics. Second of all, pro wrestling makes you very comfortable in front of a microphone because you have to sell yourself to the crowd. I was a villain, and my job was to get them so angry at me that they'd pay their hard-earned dollars to see me get my ass kicked.
I wanted to ask you, though, as you said, professional wrestling, it's all about a facade, it's about a persona. Was the guy presented to the voters of Minnesota in 1998, was that the real Jesse Ventura, or were you putting on a show for them?
It was part me and part a show.
Okay. It's nice that you admit that. What part did you make up? What was the show part?
Well, the show part was my inauguration when I put on the feathered boas, the earrings, and the sunglasses, and the Jimi Hendrix T-shirt.
If I remember correctly, didn't you climb down a rope in the Target Center in Minneapolis?
Well, I did that during a Timberwolf game. I fast roped, like in my Navy SEAL days.
Right.
I always feel that in order to love life, you need to defy death now and then.
I guess so. That's why we invited you on the show, so I could have the same.
No, that's why you kept me over the phone.
There you go. Well done, sir. Now, before we play our game, I got one question I want to ask you.
Sure.
You were probably the most successful of the politicians who advanced to office on the theory, you know, we need, as you said earlier, we need a regular guy in office. We need somebody from the real world, enough of these politicians. And then you were in office for 4 years. Do you still believe that, or did you come to believe that actually politics is a profession and maybe an expertise in politics and experience in government is actually useful?
No, I don't think that you need particular expertise because look at the current situation. Okay.
All right, you win.
Besides him. Yeah, okay. Look at who's running for president right now.
Yeah.
These are three senators. Now, supposedly, they're great senators who have the expertise and know what they're doing out there, right?
Yeah.
Well, how is it then that they can leave for 2 years and campaign for president?
They haven't
done a thing in the Senate for 2 years. They've been out campaigning for president, both McCain, Obama, and Clinton.
Right.
So how, and like when I ran for governor of Minnesota, I was the only one that lost his job in the private sector.
Oh, yeah.
While I ran against the mayor and the attorney general. So while they're out running against me, my tax dollars are paying them their salaries for jobs they're not doing.
So,
and yet they will tell you they're the only person qualified to do the job. How ridiculous is that?
I see your point. Gosh. Ready to go?
Ready.
All right. Jesse Ventura, we're so excited to have you with us. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
It's a dog leg left, then you go through the windmill and right down the alligator's windpipe.
The United States Open will be played this weekend on a course in Boothe Bay, Maine. We're not talking about the PGA event, but the one sanctioned by the U.S. Pro Mini Golf Tour. In honor of the tournament, we're going to ask you three questions about the sport variously called miniature golf, putt-putt, or crazy golf. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine.
Okay.
Carl, who is former Governor Jesse Ventura playing for?
Peter, he is playing for Shelly Markov in Baku, Azerbaijan, who listens via our podcast.
All right. So your answers will wing around the world to Azerbaijan. First question is about the origin of the game, miniature golf. Most authorities believe that the first mini golf course was created in 1867 in where else? St. Andrews, Scotland, also the legendary birthplace of what mini golf players call big golf. Why did the Scottish golfers feel the need for a miniature version of their game? Was it A, they wanted a version of the game to play indoors when the wind was too strong to decently wear the kilts required by the real course's dress code? Was it B, they wanted a golf game for ladies to play without having to raise their arms above their shoulders, which was seen as violent, shocking, and indecent? Or C, was it that one Scottish noble made a friend a bet that he could play an entire round in a score of 30? He just didn't stipulate which course.
I would say it's B.
You know, for B, that they didn't think ladies should play real golf, so they wanted to give them a more dainty version.
Yeah.
You're right, sir. Very good. What happened was, it was felt in St. Andrews that women should not play golf because raising their arms above their shoulders was unladylike.
Yep.
So the members of the Royal and Ancient Club of St. Andrews...
You know, it's a shame we can't get that rule passed today.
You think
it?
So?
Where's the chair?
No. You can take the man out of the World Wrestling Federation, but you can't take the World Wrestling Federation out of the man. All right, second question. Mini golf has been extremely popular over the years, especially during the 1920s, but since then it's only had a few moments in the sun pop culture-wise, including which of these? A contestant, was it A, a contestant in the British version of Survivor, used his wiles and skills as a mini golf champion to win the game show, sparking a revival of the sport in Britain? Was it B, in 1994, then Playboy model Jenny McCarthy did a very popular photo spread set on a mini golf course? Or C, in the 1990s, the biggest hit on the Quebecois cable sports network was a weekly French language mini golf competition with its cast of competitors becoming minor celebrities.
C,
you're going to go for the Quebecois golf show?
Yeah.
It is. My gosh, you're good. We thought we were so clever. We're like, what does Jesse Ventura know about mini golf?
Well, he obviously...
Now, I've won for the contestant, right?
You have.
There you go.
Well, let me tell you about the show. It was called Défi Mini Putt, and viewers could enjoy half an hour a week of competitive mini golf, played on some courses around Montreal. The holes all had names in French, of course, like Le Slalom, La Disco, and most terrifyingly, Le Monstre. I want to see Jesse Ventura, and I bet if you do too, if you can be perfect. Here we go. Last question. Time to learn some mini golf lingo. Which of these is a term you might hear in hardcore miniature golf circles? A, Swedish felt. B, hell screw. C, bump and dump.
I'll go with C, bump and dump.
You're going to go with bump and dump. No, it was Swedish felt. Swedish felt. The Swedes, for some reason, are really big into miniature golf. They are credited with the invention of one of the most popular surfaces for mini golf courses.
Well, Swedish, you know why I didn't know that? I've never played it in Sweden.
There you go. If only you had, sir. Carl, how did Jesse Ventura do in our quiz?
Well enough, Peter. He had two correct answers, so he wins for Shelley Markov in Baku, Azerbaijan.
Well done. Yet another member of your fan base. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. This was one of the most difficult things I've been trying and pressurized things I've ever done.
Well, and yet you succeeded again. It's amazing.
Well, you know, they said I couldn't be governor either.
There you are. Jesse Ventura has been at various times a Navy SEAL, a professional wrestler, a movie star, and the governor of the great state of Minnesota. His book, Don't Start the Revolution Without Me, is out and available everywhere. Jesse Ventura, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.